the Federal Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. Good morning.
Good morning. Half right, Tony. Had the chinos and an open neck shirt. But as you know, in the role of Treasurer, you got to look the part as well as play the part.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you might have been doing the old TV newsreader trick there, and just the top half with the jacket and shirt and the board shorts underneath.
Well, I feel the PM did that during lockdown, and good luck to him. We do have to front the camera from time to time, but I've also been getting some valuable time with the family, which has been great. And Lawn, as you say, is a beautiful spot, and there are thousands of Victorians who are already on the beach, getting out and enjoying the surf.
All right, just before we get down to the tin tacks of the conversation, Daniel Andrews was basically forced back to work by his wife because he was on the phone 20 hours a day. Are you nearing that today? Are you pushing the friendship a bit there?
Well, I'm actually going down to Avalon at the moment. So I'm going to a business called Cotton On, which, as you know, employs thousands of Australians, and they're going to be making an announcement about expanding their business, and they have graduated off JobKeeper, which is a really good success story of a Victorian business, indeed a global business, that has used the government support to get to the other side of this crisis, but is now being able to stand on its own two feet again. And I think that's one that we want to see repeated right across the country. And so it's a good news story, and it's good news for their workers and good news for the country.
So does the Federal Treasurer actually get to do what many people haven't done, and that's get to sit down with the elusive and the media-shy owner of Cotton On, Nigel?
I don't think Nigel will be there, but certainly his relatives who work in the business will be, and will be visiting the distribution centre and seeing their plans for an expansion and creating more jobs, which is exactly what we're on about, Tony, helping to create jobs, helping to get people back into work, and helping to see the back of this once-in-a-century pandemic.
Yeah, that's right. And when you talk about job creations, I notice that you're looking at a figure of about 100,000 over 2021-2022.
Yep.
Ambitious or based on what you're seeing so far, which, I don't know, is that ahead of schedule, the recovery?
Well, those jobs that you referenced there, that's as a result of the tax cuts that are now starting to flow through to Australian families, but also the business investment incentives that we put in place. We've seen actually around 700,000 plus jobs being created over recent months, and we've seen 85% of the people who either lost their jobs or saw their working hours reduced to zero at the height of this pandemic get back to work. But the tax cuts have put around $7 billion into the pockets of Australian families over the last 6 months, and more than $1 billion a month on average will go into their pockets over the next 9 months. So it's part of a complex and comprehensive suite of measures that were put in place to support the economy.
I mean, when you start talking about figures like $1 billion a month in the pockets of Australians who need it most, where's the money come from?
Well, in terms of that's their hard-earned money. That's less tax that they're paying. So if one of your listeners is earning $60,000 a year, they will pay $2,160 less tax this financial year compared to 2017-2018. So it's effectively rewarding effort, encouraging aspiration, as well as putting more money into people's pockets. When it comes to our other programs, that's borrowed money. As you know, we're running deficits, not surpluses, unfortunately, but that is a function of this pandemic, which has been a huge economic shock for Australia, indeed for the world. But we are better placed, certainly better placed than so many other nations at this point in time.
So with the cash splash, if we can call it that, is it at the behest of other services?
No. What we have done is actually increased funding for education, for health, for aged care, while also putting in place programs like JobKeeper. I mean, JobKeeper supported 3.6 million Australian workers at its peak. And in Victoria, we have put out about $40 billion to date from the federal government, which includes a significant amount for JobKeeper, around $24 billion. Now, that supported 300,000 plus Victorian businesses. That's in addition to the extra money we've put into the range of services that are needed.
So, Treasurer, can I ask you, if that's still on track to be, I think March, is when it's due to be
JobKeeper is scheduled to end in March.
Correct. Okay. Is there an ability in this fragile environment that we live in because of COVID, and we're seeing this in Brisbane at the moment, is there an ability to bring that back?
It was always intended to be a temporary program. Indeed, it was originally scheduled and legislated for 6 months. What we did is extended it for another 6 months, but we tapered the rate down. So the intention is still for the program to end in March. But Tony, it's important to understand JobKeeper is just one of many programs the government has put in place. The JobMaker Hiring Credit, which is expected to support hundreds of thousands of young people who are getting from unemployment queue into work, has been legislated. We've brought forward billions of dollars in infrastructure spending. We announced recently more than $100 million for the travel agents who have been hit hard by the crisis. I announced in the budget as well more than $300 million for regional tourism. So the government has adopted a full court press when it comes to supporting the economy. But the good news is that as the restrictions have eased around the country, and we've seen that particularly in Victoria, people have started to get back to work. So we saw around 2 million Australian workers graduate off JobKeeper in the month of October compared to the previous month in September. And that's purely a function of confidence coming back, restrictions being eased, and people getting back into work.
So just a couple of other ones before we let you go, Treasurer. The border closures, and you know, yes, it's just so unpredictable. How much does that jeopardise the recovery and the confidence that you talk about?
Well, it does create uncertainty for business and for families. There's no doubt about that. And when it comes to border closures or indeed border restrictions, state governments need to bear in mind key principles. Their actions need to be considered. They should be compassionate, and they should also be common sense, because people on those borders, towns particularly, are very much affected. And we're seeing a lot of holiday travellers from Victoria who went into states in New South Wales or to Queensland, struggle to get back in time. So governments need to be very mindful of those principles, but they also need to be acting on the best medical advice.
And have they been exercising common sense for the most part?
Well, I think we have, for example, supported what Queensland has done in terms of that lockdown in the greater Brisbane area, but also when it comes to their border closures. More recently, they've adopted an expanded hotspot definition as to what was transpiring in New South Wales. So I think there has been a prudent approach across some of the states. But again, this is not the end of the virus here, Tony. It's going to be around for some time. There will be border restrictions that come and go. And I would just say to the states, as they know all too well, that many, many people are affected by those decisions. So they do need to be based on the medical advice. They do need to be considered, common sense and compassionate.
All right, and just one final one, the vaccination rollout. Obviously, there's a fair bit of jockeying now as to who's going to be up towards the front of the line. And this is not trying to be smart or anything, but as a senior federal minister, do you expect to be among the first to get that jab?
Well, I don't want to jump the queue.
And, no, I'm not suggesting you are, but as the federal treasurer.
When it's available to me, I will get it in a heartbeat. I think it is important, for example, that the Prime Minister and the Health Minister, and indeed subsequently the Premiers as well, get the jab, because that will also provide, I suppose, additional confidence to the broader public. But we are focusing in the initial rollout on those frontline workers, whether they are health workers, whether those are working on our borders or in relation to hotel quarantine or indeed aged care residents. But as the Prime Minister has said, Tony, the vaccine is not a silver bullet, but we will see a rollout in February. That's the intention, starting with around 80,000 vaccinations a day, hopefully getting to 4 million by March, and we're adopting a similar timetable to what we've seen in Japan, Korea and New Zealand. And I heard Professor Murphy say recently, the former Chief Medical Officer, now the head of the Federal Health Department, that when it comes to the TGA, that Therapeutic Goods Association, who do the registration, they've been able to do in days, if not weeks, what would normally take months to do. So without compromising safety in any way, without cutting corners. They've been able to expedite this process, and I think that will be good news for the public.
All right, Treasurer, we better let you get back to your working holiday.
Thanks very much, Tony. All the best to you and your listeners, and I'm hoping for a much better 2021 for all.
Absolutely. Good on you. The Federal Treasurer joining us there, Josh Frydenberg.